you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. So good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. Do you see my little post-it note in front of me, Marianne?
I do. What's on it?
Oh, you can like this. It's classic.
Okay.
Kathleen, welcome to the Wednesday edition. It's
an
exciting program.
Thank you.
We're going to share a story, and we got a story to tell. Before we share the story, you're going to be going to a birthday party. Is it this Saturday?
Yes, I am. I'm going to a birthday party Saturday for Art Lienerman.
Happy birthday, Art.
Happy birthday, Art.
Pre-birthday celebration going on here for you.
He'll be 95.
Wow. Now, did you know him before you wrote the story?
No, I didn't.
Oh, wow. That's really special then to be invited.
And, that's right. I have made a lot of very good friends over the course of this time. They're very sweet, wonderful people that I have met.
And the course of this time Kathleen is referring to is writing these dynamite, or these special, dynamite, no pun intended, you know, with when they're about war.
Oh, that's true. So, that's true.
These, what, generations?
From
generation to generation. A number of veterans.
Yeah. Almost 2 years. The whole series is called From Generation to Generation, Character Really Does Matter, a series by Kathleen Jennings.
Yeah. So
on your cards.
Post-it note here, this came from a dear supporter to the radio ministry, actually a dear friend before we even went on the air.
Way back then?
Yeah. Dear Marilyn, I think she was at the launching when we had our historic first broadcast. We listened to it together.
Down in the basement.
Yeah, in the basement of Twin City Bible Church.
Oh, my goodness. And,
well, anyways, here's what she wrote. To Marianne. So there's a note
to
you, and there's a note to me.
Oh, my goodness.
The name of the song you remembered on air, and she wrote 62519, which begins, "Out in the highways and the byways of life," is titled, "Make Me a Blessing," from the chorus.
Yeah.
So that was a little note to you. So I'll hand you that little post-it note.
Thank you.
And then this note to me, it's classic. To Mark Burns. EXULT, exult.
Oh, dear.
To
leap,
to rejoice greatly. Exalt, EXALT, praise and honor. And then sideways, she shows Psalm 34:3.
Oh, that's so funny.
Favorite verse.
She did that.
And then 1 Samuel 6, it looks like 14 or 16, what David did. So David exulted, EXULT. He leaped.
He was happy.
He rejoiced greatly in the Lord.
Right.
And then this psalm, when we exalt, we praise and honor. So,
how did that make you feel?
Oh, fine. And it's great. It's coming from her. And I know she tunes in all the time. So, hello, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Yeah, she's
you should
great
be
one.
Best friends with Rob Seidenberg.
Yeah.
He always points that same thing.
We might hire
except
her.
Except not so clearly.
Yeah. Well, maybe she needs to part of our editorial team for the Prime Life Times.
That really got you. You really got it.
Yeah, so I have it right here as a reminder. Exalt. Exalt, you know. So anyway, so that's a good little reminder. It's right here next to my microphone. In the center. Let's see. Let me cover a couple things before we have Kathleen Jennings read the story. And wow, 95. You got to know Art. He's invited you to his birthday on Saturday. So we're going to read his story. And,
we are.
Well, your story is recounted from some of the remarks that he shared and told you about, but I get to remark and talk about a special person I met. Let's see. Holly and I were delivering papers into Arcola, Arthur, and then back to Tuscola. And we went to Flesser's, the Candy Kitchen.
Oh, I like that place.
Wow, it was the first time I ever went in. Now, you did this story. What, it was about a year ago? A long time ago.
When was it? May or something like this past year?
Your delicious destinations. Yeah. Well, it was. In fact, I went in. I'm thinking, I think they have a stand near the front door. And certainly they do, the Prime Life Times papers. And so she met me as I walked in. She goes, hello. And I'm like, oh, hello. I'm delivering the papers. It's the first time in here. And she goes, oh, come here. Come here. She pulled out a couple chocolates. Oh, you need
nice.
To try that. Well, first I name dropped. I said, you know, Mary Ann. She wrote the story. And she goes, oh, she's a sweetheart. Did a great job. And I said, can I look around? Because, you know, it's that old-fashioned booths and other things that I thought, wow, this is a really neat place.
She could see chocolate written on your face.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm sure she could see it on mine.
And then she had a private party, so they have this whole additional room. You go through this area, and She said there's a private party. I think it's like the 50th or 60th wedding anniversary for this couple. So they were having lunch in their special reception and such. And other people were at different places in this restaurant. And they had that old-fashioned phone booth and the old-fashioned countertops and a display case that you would see in those, what were the nickel and dime stores, as we'd say, where they had all the candy laid out, all fresh. And
it smells so grand in there. Did you happen to see the back where there's those huge granite tables they pour out the candy on?
No, only special people like you get to go into the back like that. So,
okay.
No, I just got
so
kind of
cool.
The quick, I was in and out, but I talked with her a few minutes, and I said, hey, on Wednesday we'll do a little shout-out because we feature the Prime Life Times Wednesday in Review.
So it's a great story.
Yeah.
Hi, Devin, and her sister. Hi, Ann.
Right in downtown Tuscola, 101 West Sales Street. So if you need a real fun place to eat or maybe a daddy-daughter date or take your spouse or friends, anyone, go head out there and great food, great meals.
I'll put in a plug for the tilapia. It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's what you said. You
I
wouldn't
know,
think
I w-
that
I know,
like this
at a candy,
candy
shop.
Kitchen.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Ooh. Tilapia.
Go figure.
So,
it was.
Oh, yeah. She's a hard worker. She was busy
they
about
are.
Things. Yeah.
Yeah.
What did you say? Her maybe nationality, like?
Well, her father was Greek.
Greek.
Yeah,
okay.
It's in the article. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Greek people became candy makers when they immigrated. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating story.
Wow. And again, we're in the midst of our Memorization Monday, 1 John 5:15. Are you working on that one? It's one of the more unusual ones. It goes with the verse beforehand and the wording of it that we have in our printout. It's 1 John 5:15. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we ask of him.
So yeah. It's like it really is easier when you read it with the first one because it's just hard to start.
Yeah.
It's really these verses that were put in, and I'm so glad someone put them in, were not the original. I mean, it really was just one long sentence.
Yeah, they didn't have verses. And so Marianne's referring to 1 John 5:14, which is, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And then it goes on, the one we're working on this week. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have whatever we ask of him. So, all right. So,
all good, though.
It's all good, yes. And yesterday with Testimony Tuesday, when we had Bob DeGonia in here, we talked about the power of prayer. And, you know, it kind of goes along with that verse that, you know, we have that privilege, that opportunity, that gift, if you will, to talk to God, but not just to converse and get to know him and he gets to know us, but we get to petition or, as people would say, we get to intercede or we share our supplications, our needs, and he delights in answering. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, sometimes it's wait. Sometimes it's, well, I have something better for you, so we're going to put off what you're requesting. Be patient because I'm going to answer it in a supernatural, better way.
Well, but Bob DeGonia is a walking witness to the power of prayer.
Yes.
To what he went through.
Well, thank you, Kathleen. I'm kind of energized. I talked about Bob yesterday, that he takes the initiative, that he wants to deliver papers in Clinton, Indiana, in Rockville, in other areas. But you do the same. You take them to the Mettler Center, the Muhammad IGA. You and John sometimes, you know, check that place. And you like to hand them out. You're like, have you read the Prime Life Times paper? Oh, here, dearie, you need to have this. And I appreciate that because I think the personal touch that we as a ministry give or with handing out the papers and recommending it to somebody, they start reading it. It's engaging material. It's good content. And then as we pray, you know, Lord, use this paper, these God-honoring stories, to draw people to yourself, to encourage them, to bless them, to help them become aware of the radio ministry, which is very much all about proclaiming the good news message of Jesus. But as I shared with Bob and you and our staff, we love this paper getting into people's hands because it's good content. And like the stories you write, these are people that have served this country. They're heroes. They're wonderful people. They've defended our freedoms.
And their stories don't get out. This is fantastic to know about this.
Right. Well, it's a lot of the personal stories give a different insight into the things that happen. Because, all right, there was World War II. Or, okay, there was Vietnam. And unless you knew someone who fought in that conflict or in that war, you knew them personally enough that they would share things with you. Many people don't share. Right.
It's too hard.
Or it takes several years before they're ready to share a lot of the things that went on. And it helps you understand a little bit more. I know when I read things like this and talk to these people, it makes me want to live my life in such a way that it honors the sacrifices they made.
You know, you said that one other time when you were on the program, and that really touched me. That is a really phenomenal way to react to this heroism and this integrity of so many of these people.
That's kind of like the message in that Saving Private Ryan, where that individual who lived through that, and because of the sacrifices that others had made, that he wanted to give back, and he felt living an honorable life and living in their memory. And that's kind of what art and many of these World War II veterans or Vietnam or Korean or the various conflicts, they were serving our country. Sometimes they were honored and appreciated when they returned. Other times, other wars, you know, they were spit on or sadly were not given the due respect that they were doing or accomplishing a mission that our government sent them to do. But what did you find fascinating or special about art, just as an individual, as you got to meet them?
The fact that Art and the others that I have interviewed tell me these very touching, many times quite simple things, but they're being very transparent with me. And that's just incredible to me, because they don't know me. They don't know me, and that's why I work very hard to give them the honor that they're due.
It's great
for doing that.
And for the other arts and, if you will, Arlenes that are out there, your stories matter and can make a difference. And I know many Holocaust survivors, they waited many, many years until their children or grandchildren said, "Daddy or Grandpa, these stories need to be told to help learn so we don't repeat some things, or we can have a fuller understanding of what you went through, or, you know, empathy or insights." And so thank you, Art, and those of you that are like Art or an Arlene that have stories, please pass them on. Call Kathleen, call us, or share with your family, your friends. These stories need to be told. We need to understand.
Write them down.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, the story of the Indianapolis went on and on and on, because it wasn't until 1967 when the ship was recovered.
Wow.
It was at a depth of about 18,044 feet, and it's still there. They did not bring it up. It is still there. It's very well preserved. It was about 25 miles from where they thought it would have gone down. But with new information they had, they kind of looked in a different place.
Well, let's read what happened.
Okay. One final mission. August 2nd, 1945. While on a routine patrol flight in the area of Guam, Navy pilot Lieutenant Wilbur Gwynn noticed an oil slick in the water below. Making out the blackened faces of men adrift, he radioed for help and dropped a life raft and radio transmitter. Lieutenant Commander, U.S. Navy, Robert Marks and his crew were the first responders in their amphibious PBY-5A Catalina patrol plane. And after spotting the survivors, they also dropped life rafts. Unfortunately, one raft was destroyed upon hitting the water, and the other rafts landed too far from men who were exhausted after 4 days in the shark-infested waters without food or drinking water. Disregarding standing orders, Marks and his crew landed the aircraft in an area of 12-foot swells and managed to pick up 56 survivors. Because not all 56 men could get inside the plane, Marks and his crew used parachute cords to tie men to the wings and to tow a life raft. Obviously, the plane could not fly with such a load, and they had to wait in rough seas for rescue ships. The rescue operation also became one of recovery. Most of the men who died were eaten by sharks, but some were pulled from the water and placed in body bags. After taking one such body bag from the lifeboat, the crew noticed movement inside the bag. and quickly removed radar operator Art Lienerman.
Wow. Pause here for a minute. Can you even imagine?
No.
Can't even imagine.
He had lost consciousness and so forth. Art told me his memories of the events were sketchy because he was unconscious much of the time. For 2 or 3 weeks after his rescue, he couldn't remember anything that had happened. Robert Marks and other responders would fill in many of the details when Art finally had the opportunity to meet them. It also wasn't until later that Art and other survivors of the sinking of the USS Indianapolis learned the importance of their final mission.
Hmm.
A 1942 graduate of Sibley, Illinois High School, Art was raised in town, but learned about agriculture while working on area farms, where he was hired to work on threshing jobs. Later, he worked at the Joliet Ordnance Plant, manufacturing anti-tank mines and howitzer shells. Most of the boys in his graduating class of 18 joined the Navy, and he did too, because he thought it a good idea. "I thought serving on a ship would be better than crawling around in the dirt and mud and sleeping on the ground," he said.
Classic.
Yeah. After completing boot camp at Great Lakes Naval Training Station, Art Lienerman boarded the USS Indianapolis, anchored in San Francisco Bay, in September 1943. "It was just like a city," Art told me. "There were movies, a barber shop, a bakery, and even an ice cream shop."
Hmm.
The Indianapolis had a doctor on board, and not every ship had its own doctor. I asked Art whether he visited the ice cream shop, and he answered, "Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
My favorite was butter pecan. The shop made ice cream for other ships, too. Sometimes we would have movie nights and ice cream and bakery treats and invite those from nearby ships." Art was on board for the invasion of the Gilbert Islands, and when the USS Indianapolis provided fire support for the Marines at Tarawa, Saipan, Guam, Tinian, the Marianas, and Iwo Jima. In March 1945, during the pre-invasion bombardment of Okinawa, 9 crewmen were killed in a Japanese kamikaze bombing attack. It was damage from this attack that required their return to the Mare Island Navy Yard in California for repairs. That would set up the chain of events that led to the significant final mission of the USS Indianapolis. After major repairs were completed, the ship received new top-secret orders to return to Tinian. Not one of the crew, including the captain, knew at first just what the mission entailed. A truck pulled up to the loading dock with a very large box. The captain wanted to know its contents, but no answers were forthcoming. He agreed to take the box, but he wouldn't know the mission details until the ship was out at sea. The box, placed in one of the hangars on board, was guarded 24 hours a day by the 39 Marines assigned to the USS Indianapolis. Only much later was it learned that they had delivered Little Boy, the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima.
Mm. Oh, my word.
Cargo delivered on July 26th, the ship sailed on to Guam, where those whose tours of duty were completed were replaced by other sailors. On July 28, the ship left for Leyte, where the crew was to receive additional training for the next phase of their duties. Just after midnight on July 30th, the USS Indianapolis was struck by 2 Japanese torpedoes, causing massive damage. When I asked Art how he got off the ship, he told me he just walked off into the water. The ship sank within 12 minutes, taking around 300 crew with it. The rest of the crew, around 900, went into the water. Only 317 survived. Mm. The Navy wasn't even aware of the sinking until the survivors were spotted from the air by the patrol plane. After time in a hospital submarine rest camp, Art boarded a carrier returning to California and a 30-day leave. He remained in the Navy, serving on shore patrol until 1946. After his discharge, he rode to Illinois with his uncle and a friend. Following a 2-month rest, Art began working for a local telephone company, completing 34 years, while living in Urbana, Champaign, Bonneville, and Mahomet. Art still lives in Mahomet, where his son Greg graduated from high school in 1971. Art's wife Ethel, who first encouraged him to attend the USS Indianapolis reunions, passed away 3 years ago. The reunions, held each year in Indianapolis, have become an important part of his life. He's looking forward to attending the 2019 reunion in late July.
Oh, that's coming up.
Yeah.
When his son and 2 granddaughters come from Colorado to go with him. Fair winds and following seas, Art.
Oh, my goodness. And you said the Japanese pilots didn't even know what that ship had been carrying.
No.
Oh, my goodness. And how fortunate
that it made it on that mission to make the delivery.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we want to close out with a portion of a song. I know we're preempting a little of SRN News, but it's a special song, Kathleen, that you felt would really fit well. Happy birthday, Art. Thank you for serving our country and the arts out there and the Arlenes out there, those of you that have represented our country and served us. We thank you for the freedoms and just say thank you.
Happy birthday, Art.
Thank you. Happy birthday.
Happy July 4th to everybody.
Yeah, happy 4th, everyone.
All right, we got a favorite of Art's all queued up. It's The White Cliffs of Dover by Bing Crosby, one of Art's favorites. So we'll close out with that. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Kathleen Jennings with the Ministry of Great News Radio and the Prime Life Times. God bless you, and have a great day and night, and happy 4th of July, everyone.
There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after tomorrow, when the world is free. The shepherd will tend his sheep, and the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover tomorrow, just you wait and see. Shepherd will tend his sheep, the valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room.